For those watching and listening online, we want to say thank you for taking the time to do that. I want to share a quick story. One of the verses that has made a huge impact on me since I've been a follower of Jesus has been a statement that Paul made in his letter to a drama-filled, settling for less, undisciplined local church. And he says, quote, "You guys have said, I have the right to do anything," end quote. "But not everything is beneficial." He says, "You all say," quote, "I have the right to do anything," end quote. "But I will not be mastered by anything." See, the immediate context of Paul and what he's addressing is that there is a man hooking up with his dad's wife and people in the church are suing each other. There's a lot going on. And Paul's principle has been applied to a lot of things in life, and especially in my life, and it's probably saved me from making some short-sighted decisions and sinful decisions. I think back of dating in high school, dating in college, when it comes to alcohol, medication, how money was spent, how money was used, education and work. And look, we live in a culture of liberty and independence with rights. Like, there's a mentality that people say, hey, I could do whatever I want to do as long as it doesn't affect other people. Like, what people do is their business and what I do is my business. And Paul's principle can be applied to anything in our life, specifically the topic we'll be talking about today, technology. And we're going to come back to this principle. There's a recent study that concluded that screen time overall is up 30% this year. On average, Americans spend 4 hours and 25 minutes a day on their phones, compared to 2 hours and 54 minutes in 2022. And the majority of the 1,000 people surveyed admitted that they sleep with their phones. 60%. 89% checked them within the first 10 minutes of waking up. 75% admit that they use it on the phone, or they use their phone on the toilet. And when a notification comes in, 75% say they check it within 5 minutes. Most surveyed say they are uneasy leaving their phone at home, 75%. And 55% say they go no longer than 24 hours without using it. Then 47% say if the battery level dips below 20%, there's a sense of panic or they have anxiety that begins to set in. And then in another survey, I could not believe this, but some people chose a broken finger over a broken phone. And that's clear that most people are not living within tech margin. And we started out this series a few weeks ago saying this, that perhaps what we call normal normally leads to burnout. And we talked about this, and then really this series came about through the conversations I've had with people over the months, parents that are exhausted, they're burning out. Like, they're taking their kids to and from school, to and from practice, to and from rehearsal, to and from dance, and all the while trying to feed them, study with them, and get them to bend in a decent time and have time for themselves or their spouse. And we talked about the busiest people typically in the room are those who are empty nesters, those who are retired, because they are going to more doctor's appointments than any generation before them. And then singles, man, they're burnt out when it comes to dating as the pool isn't filled with quality people. So what's happened? Like, what's caused this burnout? How do we have this burnout society? We talked about that in the burnout society, we're chasing something and we don't even know what it is. We're chasing something and we don't even know what it is. And the temptation is to chase something better than what we currently have, what our parents have, what our siblings have, what our friends have. And we're chasing this moving target because it's constantly moving in our culture. And we're chasing it and it's leaving us tired. It's leaving us isolated. It's leaving us broke. And when we live life to the limit, we no longer enjoy our lives. And kind of going back to this idea that we're chasing something we don't even know what it is, how many of us have been on our phone scrolling and we don't even know what we're scrolling for? It's just become something we do. Like, we've learned so far that burnout is a result of having too many options and no limits. And we talked the first week about creating margin. And the way that we create margin is that we have to sacrifice a few things. That margin requires sacrifice. Well, it's been said that, and I don't know who said this, but scrolling is the new smoking and technology is the new gluttony. Let me ask you a couple questions. How many of us sit down just trying to shut our mind off so we just scroll for a bit to catch up? And then next thing we know, an hour passed by and we feel worse. How many of us love our phone at the same time we hate it? Like, do you love what it does for you but hate what it does to you? And it's likely that this isn't by accident. In an interview, Sean Parker, one of the original creators of Facebook, said this, quote, "God only knows what it's doing to our children's brains. The thought process that went into building these applications, Facebook being the first of them, was all about how do we consume as much of your time and conscious attention as possible? And that means that we need to sort of give you a little dopamine hit every once in a while because someone liked or commented on a photo or a post or whatever. And that's going to get you to contribute more content, and that's going to get you more likes and comments." He said it's a social validation feedback loop, exactly the kind of thing that a hacker like myself would come up with because you're exploiting a vulnerability in human psychology. In so many words, our brain is like a scale. There's pleasure and there's pain. And our brain prefers to stay level at all times. Every time we get a hit of dopamine, our brain responds by throwing weight on the pain side of the scale. Which is why with every click, every swipe, we end up anxious, irritable, depressed, fatigued, craving, and unable to sleep. And ironically enough, these are withdrawal symptoms. The irony, maybe the insanity, is that Meta will tell us that we have anxiety while the problem is Facebook and Instagram. Like, when we get rid of those things or when we take a long break from those things, we often feel better. It's like an abuser telling their victim that they're the problem, not them. So what do we do? Like, what do we do? If this is an issue, what do we do? And we're going to go back to that verse we started off with. Paul is letting them know, hey, this is what I've heard that you have said, that, quote, "I have the right to do anything," end quote. And then he goes on to say, but not everything is beneficial. He says, "You all have said," quote, "I have the right to do anything," end quote. And then he says, "But I will not be mastered by anything." And Paul's principle, although we find it in the New Testament, can be applied to this. Because we see this principle played out all throughout the Bible, including Old Testament. And there are examples of people who had a hard time discerning what was permissible and what was beneficial. Yeah, they were allowed to do a few things. They were allowed to do something, but at the end of the day, it actually caused more harm than good. Just because they were allowed to do something didn't mean it was the wise thing to do or the right thing to do. So think about Lot's wife in Genesis 19. Lot's wife was mastered by her attachment to the sinful city of Sodom. And despite God warning them to flee, to run away, to get away from the city, he said, don't look back. Her attachment caused her to disobey and look back, resulting in her transformation into a pillar of salt. And then you have someone like Samson in Judges 13 through 16. Samson was often mastered by his desires and impulses. His infatuation with Delilah led to his downfall. She betrayed him to the Philistines, which resulted in his capture and his eventual death. And then you have someone like King Saul in 1 Samuel 9 through 31. Saul started out as a humble king, man. God chose him. Everything was going well. But then he started becoming impatient, and that led to disobedience. And then that led to him losing out on God's favor and God tearing the kingdom away from his descendants. Saul was mastered, man, by fear, by jealousy, by impatience. And his fear of losing his kingdom led him to making hasty and disobedient decisions. And then you have King Solomon. Solomon was known for his wisdom. But yet he didn't always apply it. There were moments that he made the wrong decision, especially when it came to his many marriages with foreign women, and their idols led him away from God. And all these people are echoing Paul's message about the balance between rights and what is truly beneficial. Just because I have the right to do something doesn't mean it's the best thing for me. Each case, these people allow themselves to be controlled or mastered by something other than God's guidance. And it led to some negative results. The same principle can be applied to technology, screens, devices, gaming. Have you, like me, said something like, I have the right to do anything? But as we really begin to dig deep, and we're honest, there are things that I could say yes to that would be better if I said no to. And the truth is that if we say yes too often, we will have a hard time saying no when we need to say no. And for those of us who are honestly trying to figure out if technology is mastering us, what's the first thing you do when you wake up? Almost 90% check their phones within the first 10 minutes of waking up. Think what Paul is saying. It's easy to make excuses. It's easy to get caught up in debating what's wrong or what's right, or even what I can or cannot do. The most important argument, and I don't want you to miss this, the most important argument for us to center on is anything taking the place of Jesus' right to rule my life. It's just as Jesus taught, we cannot serve two masters. We cannot be mastered by anything or anybody other than our King. Like, think about how technology can master us. Think about dependency. We can become dependent on technology for various aspects of our lives, like communicating with people, getting a hold of someone, receiving information, enjoying a movie or two, like, right, we're just entertainment. This dependency can lead to feelings of anxiety or unease when we're separated from our devices. How about distraction instead of awareness? Technology, remember, it's not good or bad, it's just neutral. Technology is neutral. It can be highly addictive and distracting. Whether constant notifications, updates, or the allure of endless scrolling can make it challenging to focus on tasks or engage fully in real-life conversations or interactions. I don't know about you, but like for me, I do read my Bible off the Bible app, but then I have these notifications that are popping up. It's like, ah, and what happens? My mind gets sidetracked. How about manipulation instead of critical thinking? Technology platforms often employ algorithms and design features to capture and retain our attention. And this can lead to manipulating our behavior. We no longer critically think about things. We're given so much information, we think we know more than we actually know. How about isolation instead of connection? Despite the promise of connection and connectivity, technology can sometimes contribute to feelings of isolation and loneliness. Like, if we're excessively using digital communication, it can replace face-to-face interactions, which leads to a sense of disconnection with others. And then consume instead of create. Like, there's more information and content at our fingertips than ever in history. And just because we have information, just because we have access to that, doesn't make us any wiser. It doesn't make us any smarter. This doesn't require any active engagement, right? When we consume instead of creating, we're not creating a lot of things anymore. We're just consuming. And it doesn't require any active engagement. It doesn't reward skill. It doesn't even allow for satisfaction of doing something, of creating something. Neil Postman wrote in his book, Technopoly, technology must never be accepted as the natural order of things. Every technology, from an IQ test to an automobile to a television set to a computer, is a product of a particular economic political context and carries with it a program an agenda, a philosophy that may or may not be life-enhancing, and that therefore requires scrutiny, criticism, and control. See, I think there are two questions we ought to ask ourselves. Is it beneficial for you right now? That's the first question. Is it beneficial for you right now? A question we asked the very first week of this series was, what do you actually want? Maybe we can change it up a little bit. Is your current relationship with technology, phone, TV, computer, gaming, helping you accomplish what you want? Is it producing the friendships and the family relationships that you want? Is it helping you grow your dependence on God as you know more about Him and what He wants for you? And we talked about this, that God has a vision for our lives and Jesus provides us a mission. Is technology supporting that vision and mission? In his book, The Tech Wise Family, Andy Crouch explains that we are designed for a rhythm of work and rest. He suggests 1 hour a day, 1 day a week, 1 week a year, that we turn off our devices to worship, to eat, to play, and rest together. Now, whether we do that or not, the problem isn't always having access to the internet. The concern is it always having access to you. And so we don't know when to shut off and we don't know when to rest. As parents, there should be a priority to keep our kids safe from what's on and behind the screens while providing them the security of their identity. And honestly, there should be no reason our kids question how important they are to us. Like, our kids need to know that they are more important to us than whatever's on the other side of our phone. Is the phone costing you something that you don't want to give up? The second question I think we ought to ask is this. Are you being mastered by it? Are you being mastered by it? See, phones are medicators. And medicators can be defined as anything we turn to when we need a distraction. Medicators are something external we turn to when we have an internal need. Our attention is going to the wrong thing. We're placing our attention on the wrong thing. And look, when we do, there's a temptation to misuse and abuse those medicators. And it's been said that not all medicators become addictions, but all addictions start as medicators. See, the things that you and I go to, maybe to help us, often grab a hold of us in ways we don't intend to. Maybe we don't want them to, or we don't intend for them to. So what Paul does is he actually writes to another local church who's facing similar issues, and he writes this. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. See, to walk is to be led and directed by the Holy Spirit. This creates a desire for more of the vision that God has for us, the mission that Jesus has for us, than for these medicators. Well, I just want to veg out a little bit and watch TV. I don't want to think about anything. I don't want to have any stress for my kids, or I just need to be alone from everybody. I just need to isolate myself. I just need to veg out. We got to be careful that the things that we go to help us often grab a hold of us in ways that we don't want them to, or even what we don't intend for them to. So two things to think about. Is technology supporting that vision that God has for your life and the mission that Jesus has for you? And then number two, what kind of game plan do you need to create so that you are not mastered by it? Well, let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you that Paul wrote this to a church that was going through some stuff. And yes, even though they had the ability to do a few things, it wasn't beneficial. Fathers, we live in this culture of everyone has rights, everyone can do what they can do as long as it doesn't affect anybody else. I ask that you help us understand that what we do does impact other people. And Father, when it comes to technology, it could be used for so much good, but yet it can have some negative negative effects on our life. Father, I ask that you become our source of human flourishing. I know you want us to flourish. You said you want us to flourish. But Father, forgive us for trying to go to other things to help us flourish. Father, if we are becoming so dependent on technology and less dependent on you, we're sinning. And I ask that we would recognize that and we would confess that. I ask that you will help us use technology as a tool for the vision and mission you have for our life. In Jesus' name, amen.